It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Turkey and Russia meet on Syria.
Russia's poised to step into the power vacuum the U.S. left behind.
That is our top story at noon. The U.S. on the sidelines as Turkey's president met with Vladimir Putin in Russia today, the very same day as a five-day ceasefire between Turkey and the Kurds expires. That'll happen in just a few short hours. Fighting broke out earlier this month when Turkey invaded Syria after President Trump pulled U.S. troops out.
It's now time to bring our soldiers home.
The president telling Fox News last night that the troops have been in Syria far too long.
It was supposed to be there for 30 days. They're there for 10 years. We're in Afghanistan there for 20 years. We're reducing those numbers very substantially in Afghanistan.
Meantime, in Iraq today, where American forces are stationed after pulling out of Syria, comes word that the U.S. doesn't have permission to stay. Military analyst Mike Lyons says Iraq is vital to what happens in Syria.
We have to be talking about this with our Iraqi partners, reaffirming to them the importance of the U.S. troops continuing a counterinsurgency mission towards Syria and having soldiers inside of Iraq where they can quickly be reestablished and quickly go into Syria to perform missions.
The Iraqi government announcing today that U.S. troops can only stay in their country so long as they're on their way to somewhere else. President Trump says he's resigned to the fact that he'll probably be impeached.
The reason they're impeaching is because they look at the polls and they see Moody's just came out and said under all three scenarios, Trump wins easily.
The president cranking up the controversy today, calling the impeachment inquiry a lynching. That drew a sharp rebuke from New York Democrat Hakeem Jeffries.
The president should not compare a constitutionally mandated impeachment inquiry to such a dangerous and dark chapter of American history.
Even some Republicans say the president used a poor choice of words to describe the inquiry. President Trump says what Democrats cannot accomplish at the ballot box, they're trying to force with impeachment.
Impeach is a very ugly word. It really means a high crime and misdemeanor.
Today, the top U.S. diplomat to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, testifying behind closed doors in recent texts. Taylor said it was crazy to withhold military aid from Ukraine for help with a political campaign. In the foothills near L.A., some celebrity homes were dangerously close to a raging wildfire. This man lost his home to the inferno.
My mom had just passed away last week, and now this is happening. It's a lot.
Think about what's important, and the most important things were family, and they were not in danger and not here, so everything else doesn't really matter.
Jimmy Schiller is the local fire chief. He says the rugged terrain just outside of L.A. has made fighting the fire extremely difficult.
There's lots of little nooks and crannies that the fire likes to hide in, you know, little embers, smoldering ash.
In Northern California, meantime, officials at Pacific Gas and Electric are warning folks about another round of forced power outages with another wildfire risk looming. North Texas under a disaster declaration after Sunday's devastating storms. That declaration covers 16 counties slammed by severe weather.
Get one crunched car in the back, but we're feeling very fortunate that we have our roof.
The National Weather Service says at least three tornadoes, including an EF3, did heavy damage in and around Dallas Sunday night. This guy's home completely destroyed.
It's just total loss. There's nothing but insulation all over the couch, all over the floor.
The sound and the smell of chainsaws now fill the air today in North Dallas as communities start the long task of rebuilding. For the second time this month, former President Jimmy Carter has been injured in a fall in his Georgia home. The 95-year-old now in the hospital after fracturing his pelvis. The World Series starts tonight in Houston. Family Life's Bob Price with a preview.
Yeah, if you like good pitching, you're going to love this fall classic. Five of the top 10 pitchers in the league this year will be taking the mound during the World Series. The Houston Astros try to win their second title in 3 years. The Washington Nationals in the fall classic. For the first time ever, the Nats send Max Scherzer to the hill. He'll take on the mighty Garrett Cole, who hasn't lost a game since May. First pitch, game one of the World Series, set for just past 8 tonight on Fox. Bob Price, Family Life News.
I'll be watching. Thank you, Bobby. Still to come this Tuesday, a rash of robberies in Syracuse, cleaning up a ball field in Rochester, and overhauling the vote in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. We're tracking showers on the radar scope this afternoon. I'll have the latest on the rain and when the rains will depart coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Tuesday, October 22nd. New at noon, one person was killed in a house fire happened earlier today in Yates, New York. That's in Orleans County. That blaze broke out on Roosevelt Highway just before 5 o'clock this morning. No names have been released. Police in Syracuse using an old technique when it comes to fighting crime in the University District.
Hello, police. Anybody home?
They're going door to door asking students to lock their doors after an uptick in crime. Sergeant Matthew Malinowski says it doesn't take long for someone to come into your home and take off with your valuables.
It can happen in seconds. So if you're upstairs, you know, in the bathroom or your bedroom, you left your downstairs door unlocked, someone can see a laptop in a window, steal a laptop and be gone before you even know.
More than 24 burglaries have taken place around Syracuse University since school started there in mid-August. This student says he's not taking any chances.
Now living on my own in the house, it's a little scarier. Kind of being on your own and just knowing that the only thing between you and a burglary is, you know, one locked door or maybe not a locked door. So, definitely very scary.
According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, most burglaries are unforced entry. Police say the simple act of locking your car and your home can save you a whole lot of grief later on. Pennsylvania on the verge of overhauling its voting system. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
A measure that's heading to a vote in the Commonwealth would revamp some aspects of how voters cast ballots while delivering a chunk of the cash counties need to buy voting machines ahead of next year's presidential election. The legislation would wipe out the option for straight party ticket voting, allow any voter to mail in a ballot, and move the voter registration deadline closer to the election. It's part of a deal to approve $90 million in aid for voting machines that Governor Wolf wanted counties to buy. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. There's a petition going around Rochester to force the city to do more to clean up a park where kids play baseball.
I need you to sign this petition. Make our park safer.
The season's over for the players, but not for us. The work continues.
Nalita Torres organizing the effort to clean up Baden Park after trash, broken glass, and even hypodermic needles were found there.
We are reaching to bring awareness to all these issues.
Torres says they hope to put in some lights and better signage at that park to help cut down on the trash and the crime that goes on there. An Amish family in New York has filed a lawsuit over the state's new childhood vaccine law. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The case involves unvaccinated children attending Cranberry Marsh School, a private Amish-run school about 60 miles southeast of Rochester. The lawsuit filed by a father of three students at the school is the latest to oppose the new law, requiring students to be fully immunized to attend school and child care. The father claims in court records that the Amish fled religious persecution in Europe in the late 18th century, only to face it again today in the form of New York's ban on religious exemptions to vaccination. Schools face fines of $2,000 per student admitted in violation of the law, and Cranberry Marsh could be shut down if it doesn't comply. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. New York is investing in nutrition. Governor Andrew Cuomo announcing nearly $13 million for community-based nutrition education and obesity prevention programs. The money will go towards 16 not-for-profit centers all across the state. There's more and more teen drivers on the road than ever before, and the experts urging young motorists to play it safe behind the wheel. Kurt Meyer is with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation.
We're here really to encourage young people who are driving to understand the need for making sure that they're wearing their seatbelts, driving responsibly, avoiding distractions.
This week is Teen Driver Safety Week, and State Trooper Brent Miller says distracted driving is a big problem, especially with young people.
There's a lot going on inside that vehicle. We want to make sure that the teen's focus is on the road.
Over the past 5 years, 86,000 car crashes in Pennsylvania involved teenage drivers. Well, despite that statistic, U.S. roads and highways are getting safer. Correspondent Gary Nunn takes a closer look.
Fatalities down for a second year. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the number of Americans killed in 2018 was lower by 2.4%. That's following a decline from a year earlier. The key reason is that newer vehicles are safer than old ones, and more are equipped now with advanced technology features that either prevent or reduce the severity of crashes. Deaths involving children, DUI, and speeding all are lower.
Thank you, Gary. Gary Nunn reporting. Pennsylvania's growing shortage of volunteer firefighters has reached the crisis point now.
In the 1970s, there were about 300,000 volunteer firefighters in Pennsylvania. Today, there are fewer than 38,000.
State Representative Stephen Berard.
We have introduced a package of 23 bills to address the well-being of our emergency personnel and provide incentives to help recruitment and maintain volunteer and career first responders.
The incentives include tuition assistance, college loan forgiveness, and property tax credits. Well, winter just weeks away, and Buffalo meteorologist Aaron Minkowski says if you like the snow and the cold, you'll like what's coming.
Once we turn the calendar, get into 2020, looks like the pattern will set up where we're going to have below normal temperatures with above normal snow by the time all is said and done. What I've been reading a lot is that it's going to be, you're going to hear the term polar vortex a lot this winter.
Yippee, the National Weather Service calling for wetter and warmer conditions this upcoming winter in the Northeast. Well, the New England Patriots showed why they're the best team in football, no question about it, Monday Night Football. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, Sam Darnold said it all last night on the sidelines.
Seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts when this continued to happen.
Floated again and picked off again. This time it's Terrace Brooks.
That was his fourth interception of the game. He also lost a fumble as the Patriots dominated the Jets 33-0. Afterwards, he said seeing ghosts means,
I just got to see the field a lot better. That's kind of what that means. And it was a rough day out there, rough night out there. And obviously, I got to be better and learn from the mistakes.
Patriots 7-0. The Jets fall to 1-5 with the loss. Ready for some baseball? A matchup of power pitching in this year's Fall Classic. Five of the top 10 pitchers in strikeouts are in the series. Two of them pitching tonight. Max Scherzer against Gerrit Cole, Houston Astros against the Washington Nationals. Gerrit Cole speaks highly about Scherzer.
I think probably most his determination, because I feel like that word kind of covers how he competes, how he prepares.
And Max Scherzer says he's used to pitching against great pitchers.
You know, Kershaw, DeGrom, those guys. You just know you got to come out there and you're going to be throwing up zeros, and you know, you got to try to match the intensity.
Best of seven series starts in Houston. The Astros seeking their second World Series title in 3 years. Nationals in the Fall Classic for the first time in franchise history. The NBA regular season tips off tonight with a doubleheader. In the opener, the New Orleans Pelicans travel to face the defending champion Toronto Raptors. Number one overall pick Zion Williamson will not suit up. He's out 6 to 8 weeks after surgery. In the nightcap, former Raptor Kawhi Leonard and the LA Clippers face their rival Los Angeles Lakers at the Staples Center. NBA action ramps up tomorrow with 11 games on the schedule. In Philadelphia, Flyers dominate the Golden Knights 6-2. Overtime loss for the Maple Leafs against the Blue Jackets.
And Nyquist, who's 0-for-1 on power play attempts, gets his second. Comes in quickly. Shoots, scores! Jackets win on a penalty shot. In overtime! 4-3.
For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Tuesday, the ceasefire in Syria. It ends tonight. We'll have the very latest. Plus, using wild horses to help women suffering from sexual abuse. Meet today's hometown hero and the most popular candy in America. The trick-or-treaters have spoken.
Pro-choicers, it seems, will back the choices of women with disabilities as long as they make the right choice. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Nicole Lee is one of Australia's leading disability rights advocates. A spinal cord injury when she was young left Nicole dependent on a wheelchair for mobility. But as she revealed in a recent article at Quartz.com, accessibility and discrimination aren't the only challenges women with disability face. One of the most daunting challenges, she says, is getting people who talk so loudly about the right to choose to actually respect their choices. Instead, she writes, no one blinked an eye. No counseling, no questions, no support offered afterward. Looking back, she sees just how differently she was treated compared to non-disabled women at the clinic. Because of her disability, people saw the decision to end her pregnancy as unquestionably the right one. Now, if you think Lee is overreacting, the story of her third pregnancy proves otherwise. When sharing the news about the child in her womb, she was often asked, how are you going to cope with being pregnant? Followed by, how are you going to take care of a newborn baby? This, even though she was happily raising her first child. Lee wants to know, why wasn't I asked about my ability to cope after having an abortion? Why was no one concerned about my welfare then? Well, at least part of the reason, she suspects, has to do with eugenics. There's fear of passing on a genetic defect. There are doubts, as Lee put it, about whether or not disabled persons can live a good life. And remember, Lee's disability was caused by an injury. Now, her concerns are valid, and her experiences are not unique. In Australia, as in other countries, forced sterilization of those with disability is not only illegal, it's an ongoing practice. Between June 30, 2016 and June 30, 2017, at least 10 disabled adults were sterilized in Australia's Northern Territories. The sterilizations occurred at the request of the guardians, not the adults themselves. A recent United Nations report expressed concern about the non-consensual administration of contraceptives and abortions for and sterilization of women with disabilities. And their concerns included Australia. Forced sterilization and other eugenics practices might seem like a throwback to a much darker period in recent human history. But in many countries, the laws that authorize these reprehensible violations of our humanity are still on the books, even in America. Remember Buck versus Bell, in which Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes infamously declared that three generations of imbeciles are enough? Well, if not, Google it. You'll discover it's still the law of the land in the United States. Lee's account is compelling and shocking, but her explanation still misses something vital. The so-called right to choose and the disregard for the rights of those with disability come from the same ideological place. Both reject the sanctity and dignity of every human life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. Both, to borrow the title from Edwin Black's History of Eugenics, are part of the war against the weak. So it should never surprise us when societies and movements already committed to abortion on demand advance trampling the rights of other vulnerable groups, whether at the beginning of life, as in Iceland, which has eliminated Down syndrome by eliminating all babies with Down syndrome, or at the end of life, as in the Netherlands, where dementia patients are euthanized against their will. Once we divide human life into categories of convenient and inconvenient, anyone who falls into the latter category will be vulnerable. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 18 minutes past the hour this Tuesday afternoon, wet and windy, the weather words today. Let's get to it, Mr. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It is a cold front kicking up showers this afternoon for some of us, and we'll have to watch for a stray thunder shower as well. As the front pushes east of the area tonight, these showers will diminish and the skies will start to clear. Cooler air will follow the front tomorrow. In forecast form for this afternoon, though, cloudy, breezy showers, a thunder shower in spots, high temperatures upper 50s to the middle 60s. Those showers diminish tonight, the low in the 40s. Tomorrow will be a sunny day in eastern Pennsylvania. More clouds elsewhere, some lake effect rain showers will be found in western New York, especially between Buffalo and Rochester. High temps, 50s and low 60s. On Thursday, mostly sunny eastern Pennsylvania, sun and clouds elsewhere with high temps in the 50s and lower 60s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Busy at the Weather Center this afternoon. We appreciate it if you're just joining us. Here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, October 22nd. America's top diplomat in Ukraine testifying before Congress right now in the ongoing impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Bill Taylor speaking behind closed doors about White House efforts to pressure Ukraine into investigating Joe and Hunter Biden. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill.
Lawmakers and congressional investigators are going to want to know what led Taylor to have that suspicion that there was a quid pro quo here, that the president, despite Mick Mulvaney's denials last week, actually did want Ukraine to agree to investigate the Bidens before he released that aid.
Nancy Cordes reporting today President Trump called the impeachment inquiry a lynching. That drew strong rebukes from most of the Democratic White House hopefuls. It also drew criticism from the top Republican in the U.S. House, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
That's not the language I would use. I don't agree with that language. It's pretty simple.
McCarthy says while he doesn't agree with the president's choice of words, he also doesn't agree with how Democrats are conducting the impeachment probe. McCarthy accused the other side of abusing their power to help them win the 2020 election. Well, with all eyes on campaign 2020, Facebook announcing a new push to go after fake news. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe.
Among other things, the company announcing it has removed four networks of fake accounts, three based in Iran and one in Russia, that sought to disrupt elections around the world.
Facebook and Instagram will still allow political candidates to advertise with very few restrictions. A U.S. brokered ceasefire scheduled to expire tonight, and Iraq is warning the U.S. that American soldiers who cross the border can only stay temporarily. Turkey's president, meantime, meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin today. Russia could take over in areas of Syria where U.S. forces have left. Correspondent Holly Williams.
The reason the meeting between Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and the Russian President Vladimir Putin is so key today is that they could between them decide the future of eastern Syria. It's Russia, the most significant ally of the Syrian regime, with its firepower, with its air force. It's Russia that's poised to step into the power vacuum that the U.S. left behind in eastern Syria.
That's Holly Williams reporting. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson is chiming in on a couple of hot-button issues in the news today, impeachment and the situation in Syria.
I don't think we need to be the world's police force, but at the same time, we need to be smart about this.
And regarding impeachment, Congressman Thompson says there's a huge risk for Democrats if they go down that road.
Speaker Pelosi knows they'll pay a political price as a result of that, given the 31 Democrats that were elected in congressional districts that President Trump won.
The congressman says Democrats started trying to impeach this president before he was even sworn into office. North of the border, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has survived an election challenge.
We will continue to fight climate change. We will get guns off our streets, and we will keep investing in Canadians.
Trudeau remains the prime minister, but his Liberal Party lost its majority in Parliament. A scandal and an energy policy has now weakened the Trudeau government.
Those old blackface pictures likely didn't help him, but it was Justin Trudeau's energy policies that swayed voters the most. Canada's the fourth largest exporter of oil, and putting a cap on new pipelines to the U.S. cost a declining oil industry a lot of money and jobs.
That's correspondent Chris Mavridi in Toronto. In the college admissions scandal, four additional parents have pled guilty, and one of the men charged with orchestrating the scheme has changed his plea to guilty. Here's legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
Some of the parents learned that there might be a new charge that would be filed by the prosecution having to do with federal bribery. So they decided they'd better plead guilty and they'd better do it now.
Actress Lori Loughlin still among those fighting the charges. Her two daughters no longer enrolled at USC. The retail chain Macy's ditching fur.
Company says it'll stop selling mink coats and close its 34 fur vaults along with 22 Maximilian salons at Bloomingdale's. Macy says it will sell products made from ethically sourced sheep and cattle, including shearling, sheepskin, and calf hair.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. More than three quarters of parents today admit to stealing their kids' Halloween candy. Guilty as charged. The study goes on to show that more than a quarter of parents say they end up eating more candy than their kids. And Star Wars fans are geeking out over the release of the theatrical trailer for the latest movie in the film franchise.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir, at my friends.
The trailer for Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker debuted last night during halftime of Monday Night Football.
The Force will be with you. Always.
Get your lightsabers out. The final Star Wars movie hits theaters nationwide December 20th. 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Emma Mentier from Naples, New York. She uses horses to help women suffering from abuse. Talk to us about Mustangs empowering women.
So I take wild horses, and I am using them to help women who have been sexually abused. And so I am having these women work with these wild horses and train these horses and gentle them through me. Mm-hmm. And these women don't necessarily have any training experience. And so that's why I'm helping them do the training process.
So how does the program work when someone comes to you who's been through a traumatic experience in their life? What do you do?
It's a roughly 12-week horse training program that I founded this summer to inspire healing and hope through the wild horses for the women who have been sexually abused or assaulted mm-hmm. as children.
Why are Mustangs great tools for helping women who've suffered abuse?
Mustangs, you know, being wild, untouched horses are the perfect tool to use because their instinct is fight or flight. There are currently over 88,000 wild horses in over 10 western states, but the rangeland can't support that many horses, so they have to be rounded up for proper management purposes. Hmm. And so when, you know, you step into that round pen, that's what we work these horses in, you have to leave every emotion outside. Working with the horses is all about controlling your emotions. You can't carry it in there with you because the horse can read and feel that. Horses communicate through body language, not verbally. So if you go in there all stressed and anxious, the horse can sense that and can become more alert and tense and flighty. So when working with a wild horse, the whole objective is to gain that horse's trust and confidence and to establish a role of leadership with it, with the end goal to eventually be able to ride it and have a partner and companion for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So a Mustang is a perfect tool because these women are also on high alert. They're tense and not ready to trust, and they're ready to run, and that fight or flight instinct is so strong and in full gear because of something that was done to them.
Yeah.
So they have to gain that confidence within themselves in order for that horse to gain confidence in them, and they have to learn to trust, which for many is a huge deal.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Emma Mentier with Mustangs Empowering Women in Naples, New York. So what do the women say after they've gone through this 12-week program?
I'm just completing my first portion of the program. So I am still working with my first two women, mm-hmm. And both of them have gained their voices. Neither of them have told their stories publicly before starting this program, and now both of them have shouted it out to the world and are speaking out against sexual violence, and they have gained some confidence in themselves and have begun to realize that they are not the broken people that they thought they were, and that they are somebody, and that they do matter, and that being abused does not have to become their identity.
I'm sure there are a lot of listeners right now who would love to take advantage of this program. If someone's interested in contacting you and signing up for this, how would they go about doing that?
When I put this program out there, it was through a Facebook post. And I had probably half a dozen to eight people contacting me wanting in on this program. And it, like, these first two women were my guinea pigs. And throughout it, I have had more and more people contact me. And the need is just dire. And right now, I am just one person.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. But like, I want more of it. I right now have a second horse. I am ready to get started on my next set of two women. You know, so contact me through email, Facebook, or something. Yeah, But like, the need is just dire.
Oh, sure. And so you do usually about two women at a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't. I'm just one person.
Sure.
You know, and I can't do more than two women on one horse because everybody has a different training style. That's going to confuse the horse.
What a unique way to reach some very hurting people using a Mustang to break through where a lot of times humans just can't.
Yep, it's pretty awesome.
That's Emma Mentier from Naples, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. The big show comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It is a cold front kicking up showers this afternoon for some of us, and we'll have to watch for a stray thunder shower as well. As the front pushes east of the area tonight, these showers will diminish and the skies will start to clear. Cooler air will follow the front tomorrow. In forecast form for this afternoon, though, cloudy, breezy showers, a thunder shower in spots, high temperatures upper 50s to the middle 60s. Those showers diminish tonight, the low in the 40s. Tomorrow will be a sunny day in eastern Pennsylvania. More clouds elsewhere. Some lake effect rain showers will be found in western New York, especially between Buffalo and Rochester. High temps, 50s and low 60s. On Thursday, mostly sunny eastern Pennsylvania. Sun and clouds elsewhere with high temps in the 50s and lower 60s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, the most popular candy in America. As the kiddos gear up for Halloween, Family Life's Terry Diener takes a closer peek at the treats they prefer.
Each year, CandyStore.com adds up several years' worth of sales figures, 12 to be exact, to arrive at the most popular candy in each state. They provide a top three in each. This year, the 12-year tally finds that Pennsylvanians prefer Hershey's, which comes in at number one, followed by last year's winner Skittles, then M&M's. In New York, Hot Tamales are ranked as the number one Halloween candy, Sour Patch Kids are number two, and Candy Corn is number three. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Candy Corn, that stuff should be outlawed. Just nasty, in my opinion. That is the world we live in this Tuesday, as always. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.